please join me in the prayer for illumination? You'll find that printed in your bulletin. Alongside all the outward signs of this season, God, speak the message of hope we long to hear. Amen. The scripture readings this morning are taken from Luke 1, 5 through 37. They're selected verses in the New Testament on page 56 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, but they had no children, and they were getting along in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God, Zechariah was chosen to enter into the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at that time, the offering of incense, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day that these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably upon me." In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the town of Galilee, called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
In the days before I was sent to speak to the young woman, God spoke with me. "Gabriel," God said, "you must speak with this young woman in a way much different than you did with Zechariah. You must be patient with her as I have been patient with my people all these long generations. You must respond to her doubts and questions with care, because she has found favor with me, and the child she will bear will be different from all others who have come before. The young woman's wisdom and sense of wonder are gifts she was given. These she will pass on to her son and will teach him as he grows. These are gifts that will strengthen the Messiah. So, do not be hasty. Do not treat her severely. Give her assurance. Encourage her faith. Remember to let her know she is beloved and chosen. And so I went. Always before, I relied on my strength and holy presence. I could always bend the ones God chose to God's will, but not today. This day I relied on the woman. It was the strength of her faithfulness and her sense of holy mission that overwhelmed me. I only needed to do as God instructed. She did the work, and I was humbled before her.
The angels play an interesting part in Luke's story leading up to the birth of Jesus. The word angel comes to us pretty directly from the Greek, as Nolan was saying during the message up here. Angelion, the Greek word, literally means messenger. And the word in Greek for gospel is euangelion, literally good message, good news. So throughout the Bible, angels are messengers, appearing in mysterious and usually undescribed ways. Sometimes they come in dreams or in visions. Sometimes they come in the midst of life. Sometimes they bring only a message in words. Sometimes they come in words and in actions. So often, angels begin their message with words of assurance. Do not be afraid. Which makes sense, because they're delivering a message from God. When the prophet Isaiah encountered God in the temple, his response was, Woe is me. A reminder that God is always holy, so much greater than us, but loving us. Do not be afraid. So this kind of dual nature of God, this awesome, holy God, and this loving, caring God, this is the bridge that Gabriel crosses in this reading for today. It's sometimes said that John the Baptist, who is the baby foretold to Zechariah, that John the Baptist is the last prophet of the Old Testament, and that Mary, who becomes the mother of Jesus, is the first prophet of the New Testament. And there's this stark difference. The angel comes to an old man in Zechariah's case, perhaps the old dispensation of a patriarch-only world, a man's world, to tell about John. But then the angel comes to a woman, in Mary's case, the sign of the beginning perhaps of a new dispensation where the matriarch takes equal or more than equal place. Clearly, the question asked by Zechariah, how is this going to happen, given my situation, receives a harsh response. He is made mute. Whereas Mary's same question, how is this going to happen, given my situation, receives grace, a patient response. We see this similar sort of movement later when, on the night of Christ's birth, the angels appear not to the priests, not to the religious leaders, but to the shepherds, folks at work, like the ancient shepherd David, out on the land under the night sky. The words of the angels are messages from God, telling of God's work in the world. Their actions embody the great change that is coming, the child to be born, the hope and expectation that is coming in him and with him. The story marks a coming change of the location of God. From only a distant and transcendent God, now we have what the angel will tell Joseph in a dream in the book of Matthew, Emmanuel, God is with us, the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The angel response to Zechariah reflects the holiness and unapproachability of the awesome God. The angel response to Mary reflects the intimacy and tenderness of the imminent and personal God. Out on the wall next to the coat room here at Wayside, there's a little verse done in calligraphy and framed. It's a Scottish blessing. How many of you have read that verse out there? Have you even? It's easy just to walk by it and not see it. It's kind of pretty, so it's easy to ignore. But if you read it, it's really something to think about and something to ponder. Here it is. If, after Kirk, you bide a wee, which means stick around for a while. If after Kirk you bide a wee, there's some would like to speak with ye. If after Kirk you rise and flee, we'll all seem cold and stiff to ye. The one that's in the seat with ye is stranger here than you may be. All here have their cares and fears. Add your soul unto our prayers. Be you an angel unawares. And that idea, that angel unawares, it comes from the 13th chapter of Hebrews, where it says, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And here's where I believe the New Testament is interested in opening up an idea about the intersection of angels and common folk like you and I, an intersection between the transcendent and the immanent. The intimacy of God with us in Jesus has perhaps moved in closer so that we may become the bearers of messages to people like ourselves and the receivers of messages from people like ourselves. God may use you as God's messenger. If you're ever with a group of ministers talking about preaching, there's a common theme for all ministers. All of us have had someone or many someones come out after worship and say they heard something in the sermon that the minister certainly didn't put there, a message we didn't know was there and really probably did not even intend, but heard all the same. And some of you who have been teachers, you sometimes have heard back from a student years later who reminded you of something you said or did that you've completely forgotten it. But it has lived on as a message, an important message for that student. The angel message reminds us to listen patiently, to receive without full comprehension, to wait for understanding, to speak the truth in love, to be people of hope, and to live in light of mercy and forgiveness and compassion. In the sentimental old Christmas movie, The Bishop's Wife, the angel in that story, played by Cary Grant of all people, the angel in that story suggests that an encounter with an angel brings insight and a realization that comes from you know not where. But we're enabled to see what we could not see before. Perhaps we do not even remember an encounter with an angel, but the truth remains. The light does not shine on the messenger, but on the message. The season of Advent gives us a chance to take a deep, hopeful breath to realize the many positive messages that are coming our way. God sent, we believe. Good news that the universe is full of the knowledge of God and intent on bending all creation in positive directions. The great theologian Karl Barth wrote, "It's precisely in the light of the coming of Christ that faith has become Advent faith, the expectation of future revelation, future revealing. Messages that once came from angels of ancient faith, now coming to us if we have ears to hear. Messages out of our own hearts and mouths, when our words are words of love inspired by God." Amen.